Hey everybody, welcome back. JD Talks Podcast. The J and the D are back together.
Mm-hmm. Number six.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, we come to you again from different corners of the U.S.
yeah, for sure.
I'll talk a little bit about my experience. I'm right now in northern Arizona, I'll say that. And, dude, have you ever been in a monsoon?
No, I have never experienced that.
Okay, dude, it is the craziest thing ever. Yesterday, I was driving, and it rains so hard that, like, and so quick and so hard that the ground can't, like, absorb the water. So you're just driving through, like, puddles. It felt like, you know those videos where, like, the Jeeps are, like, in the water?
Oh, yeah.
And it's, like, washing over the... It felt like that, but, you know, it was just... It was crazy. It was so crazy. It was so hard. You couldn't see the lines. Like, you couldn't see the lines in the road. So, so people were... They would, like... cross the intersection and then have to like swerve over because they moved over like a little bit.
Wow.
It was crazy. It was crazy.
Yeah, that's pretty insane.
I think that was the only time here that I've ever gone under the speed limit. I was doing five under, but like white knuckle. Yeah.
Okay. It was, yeah.
It was terrible. It's not a good experience.
It doesn't sound very pleasant.
No. No, it does not.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So, what have you been up to?
Man, you know, just doing things.
Yeah.
So before we kind of get into the groove of things, obviously we took a little hiatus a couple weeks ago, but now we're back. So just because you weren't on the podcast last week due to scheduling issues and whatnot, luckily, somehow, I don't know how this happens, but like whenever we have somebody on the you know, the YouTube, as they say, it's always like somebody with the J. You ever notice that? Like pretty much all the time, it's with the J.
Yeah, actually, that is weird.
So it's kind of weird.
Yeah.
But anyway, so we took the hiatus, and we're just I don't know. We didn't talk about it last week, like I said. So like this episode, I just kind of wanted to mention it a little bit. The reason why we took the hiatus was, like Josh mentioned, we're in different parts of the U.S. right now, but also we kind of wanted a little breather. And what do you think about that little break? You know, like, oh, I don't think we've ever taken a break. If people don't know, it's a year anniversary. We've already done a year on YouTube.
Yeah.
Which flew by, 75 episodes in. That's crazy.
Yeah.
But we've never taken a break. So how did you feel about that, you know, little 1 week break to give us a little bit of, you know, a breath?
Well, yeah, I think it's kind of similar in some aspects to when we went from two videos a week to one, in that it was really kind of like a reset, you know? I think when we were pushing out two videos a week, we were just so burned out and the topics were kind of meh. And it also allows you, when you take a break like that, to kind of think about what you want to do moving forward. So, you know, yeah, that's how I felt. I think I was a little relieved. You know, it's nice to take a break every once in a while.
Yeah, amen. Amen to that. And, you know, it's kind of weird to say because Josh and I think I speak for both of us. We truly enjoy, you know, producing this content and improving and seeing how we can make stuff better and just talking about things. And, you know, we've kind of gone through phases in the channel where we're trying new things. Like you said, we went from two videos a week to one because that kind of fit better. We felt like, you know, we're producing better stuff. And that week, which we've never taken a break in a whole year, which was kind of crazy.
Yeah.
I felt like just kind of re-energized me from when we came back. We're like, all right, let's hit the ground running. You know, let's kind of produce a couple more really good quality videos, a couple podcasts, which obviously, you know, we're now starting because we're 6 episodes in, which is also, you know, moving very quickly. So like you said, I think it's always good to take a break every once in a while. But we're back, so hopefully year two starts off pretty solidly for us. And, you know, hopefully you guys keep on enjoying and supporting our content, and we'll keep this going for as long as we can.
Yeah, you know, kind of a little transition, a segue to something else. You know, when we were on that, and I wasn't on the podcast, and I kind of got to look at the podcast from an outsider's point of view, which I haven't been able to do. It's, you know, I kind of realized what I think that we were doing wrong was that it was basically JD Talk Sports, you know? And I think I would like the podcast to be a little bit more about us, you know, kind of not really too personal, but more, you know, just kind of a behind the scenes more than,
absolutely, yeah.
More than just, you know, because we do talk about sports a lot. I think, what, 90% of our texts are about sports.
Yeah.
So, you know, maybe I'd like to get, you know, your personal perspective on a couple things, you know.
Oh, absolutely. I agree. I see what you say, what you're saying. And also, too, when, again, I want to shout out James and thank him a lot for being on. What we haven't really discussed, and what I'm kind of trying to stay away from, but now that you're mentioning it, maybe we'll be more open a year in. For those of you who don't know, well, you probably don't know because we've never said it before, but we're actually high school friends who now go to different colleges in different parts of the U.S. Josh goes in a college in Northern Arizona. I go to a college in Eastern Washington. So, you know, we're kind of far from each other. Obviously, you know, we're still good friends and stuff, and we see each other in the summer and on breaks. But, you know, like you said, kind of transitioning into opening up more about us. And I agree, you know, one thing I don't really get into on this channel, but I kind of, it's a big part of my life, is I really like dissecting and exploring things I believe in, or just to think and think about certain things that are going on and how I feel about them. And we don't really talk about that on this channel, which is completely fine. You know, like we like talking about social issues and politics, and you guys respond well to those videos. So we feel that gratitude coming from you guys, like, oh man, we produce a video where we're sharing our opinions and you guys are, you know, responding well. And that makes us feel good as content creators. But, you know, like you said, we talk about sports all the time or movies or music, which is great, but that's not all that, you know, there is to life.
Yeah, totally. To get us started, I had an experience this past week that I think I'd like to get your opinion on. And it's something you've actually probably had to do pretty recently. I had an interview just this past week, and I thought it went pretty well, but I kind of want to let you know what happened and get your thoughts on this.
Okay.
So here we go. So I go in to this place, and I see two people working at the counter. So I kind of start a conversation with them. Here's my thought. Like, if the person that I was interviewing talks to those people that already work there and they already kind of like me, I think that the interviewer would like be more inclined to like hire you. How did you have that experience?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you know, I think that's just with anything, you know, job, I don't know, outside activities where they kind of like you already, or someone kind of puts in a good word, you know? I don't know if that's just exclusively for jobs or that type of thing, or even internships, or, you know, whenever is happening where you have to give an interview and somebody kind of gives you a good word. I think that's kind of, I don't know. When that stuff happens, especially, I always feel a different kind of pressure. Like I want to go in there with confidence that I could get the position or the internship or scholarship or whatever it may be. But I also feel a little bit laxed because they, like you said, they're already like, they like you as a person. They're already kind of maybe more inclined to hiring you or giving you whatever. So I don't know. I find it like a weird dynamic where you don't want to go in there like, okay, I'm confident in my abilities and they also like me. So I'm like a shoo-in, you know? So it's kind of hard to find that balance.
Yeah. You know, when I was just like, I'm a pretty good interviewee. I can have a good conversation. And I think we did have a good conversation. I managed to like make her laugh, which I mean, it wasn't like a that serious of an interview. The job isn't that like, you know, we're not talking about nuclear physicists or anything, but you know, it was a really, it was more of a conversation than an interview, which I thought was really good. And it was really different from the ones that I've been in the past where I was, you know, a little more nervous and a little more robotic, you know?
Yeah, no, I see what you're saying. You know, obviously you know me, but I don't know, whenever you're meeting new people, especially in those type of situations, in an interview setting, I always feel that it helps to make somebody laugh, you know, kind of releases a little bit of that tension or nervousness that you have, or even the person may be showing, you know? So I always feel whenever you're in a situation when you're meeting somebody new, kind of say a joke or, you know, kind of be just that type of person where you can make somebody smile and then it kind of opens up the conversation. And like you're saying, makes the interview kind of like less than an interview, more like a conversation. Yeah. It's crazy that you're saying that because I'm involved with a mock trial program here at school, and I'm a returner. I did that last year, so I'm coming in this year doing it again. And we have tryouts, so you have to try out again. And I was kind of in your situation, right? I already knew the people who were, you know, the coach, the executive members. I already knew them. I'm friends with them. So obviously, I want to put on a good tryout, but I also don't want to be, you know, super nervous or whatever. So I kind of just, you know, made them laugh a little and then went through my tryout and had a normal conversation. And I think that helps with anything in life. You know, just beyond anything, if you're just kind of warm to people, I think it makes a big difference.
Yeah, another thing I did, and I kind of kept this in mind the entire time I was having this conversation, this interview, I was like, I think it's the little things that people remember, or at least that's what I remember, you know? So at the end, she had to pull out a chair from like another part of the room, so I could sit down. And so at the end, I put it back. Like, I didn't say anything. I just put it back. And she, like, noticed and said, thanks. So I was like, you know, I don't know if it is the little things. But, you know, we'll see, I guess. We'll see. But I thought it went pretty well. So I think the interview experience, just in general, is something, you know, it's interesting. To me, yeah. as someone who kind of likes to look at, you know, what people do, you know, their mannerisms, I like to see how that changes me in a situation like that, you know?
Yeah, I see. You know, and you bring up the little things. I'm going to go kind of like philosophical on you right here. I'm going to ask you a question. So one thing that I like to do a lot is I like to think. And I like to think about my own life and certain decisions I made. And one thing I kind of deal with a lot is regret. I have a lot of regret in my life that I probably shouldn't have, but, you know, that's just what I harbor in. But, you know, you mentioned the little things you do that change how people perceive you. And one thing I've kind of embraced over the last couple years, probably since like my last year of high school, is how, like, not how people see me or care how people see me, but like my legacy, like how I would impact somebody and then say I never meet that person again. So when you think of stuff like that, you know, you do little things. Do you maybe make a conscious effort of trying to put yourself not being fake, but like, you know, showing people like who you are, but also in a good aspect? Because obviously, you know, we hate certain things about ourselves, like, oh man, I hate that I do this too much, or I hate that I struggle with this, you know, procrastination, cursing, I don't know, whatever people don't like about themselves. So when you know, you meet new people or whatever, you think you maybe try to put on, not a show, but I don't know what I'm trying to say. Like you're trying to be true to yourself,
Yeah,
but
like a
also
mask.
not even a mask. Like just you like, okay, let me sidetrack. So one thing I don't like about myself, but it happens all the time, and I'm trying to get better at, is I mentioned, I like to make people laugh. I like to fool around, and I don't like to take stuff so seriously. And one thing I found out, and I'm very vocal about that, one thing I found out is people started just grouping me in that box, you know? They're like, oh, David's just a non-serious guy. He likes to joke around. He's a loudmouth. And I don't really like how people see me like that, because that's not really who I am. That's just kind of a part of me, right? That's not exactly who I am. I just, when it comes to certain situations, I like to put stuff in perspective. So when you're meeting somebody, you know, now I don't try to be, you know, super goofy or foolish anymore, because then that's just how people look at me. And that's not, you know, my entire being, I guess. So like for you know, in an interview process, like in this case, are you trying to be organic, but also, like, I don't know, be organic in the right sort of terms, if that makes sense?
Yeah, I mean, you always want to be professional, right? I don't want to be so comfortable that I go in there cursing and, you know, farting or whatever. You know, this isn't like me and the boys hanging out, right? I want to be like a professional. I want to be professional to the extent where I don't seem fake. So, you know, it's pretty easy to tell when someone is faking it. But it's also really annoying when someone isn't trying. And I try to, I think when I, you know, I've only had a couple interviews. So what I did wrong, I think, at the first one was that, and I didn't get this job, but I tried so hard to fake it, you know, I tried so hard to be something that I wasn't. And you know, it was just like when I left it, I was like, boy, I'm really not gonna get that job. It was terrible, you know, you could feel it. 'Cause it's not like what it's not you, you know? So like when I left this one, I was like, okay, I might not get this job. I understand that that's a, you know, that's a reality. I might not get it, but I'm happy with what I left out there, you know?
Yeah. No, and I understand that 100%, you know, faking and whatnot. And we all hate fake people. You know, nobody likes a person who's fake. And like you said, you could tell right away, man, that guy right there sitting in that chair, he's fake. I could tell by, you know, how he talks, how he acts. We all hate that stuff. But I guess what I was also trying to get at, and you mentioned it a little bit, was, you know, when you went in, you're like, man, maybe I was trying too hard. So another time, you're trying to be more relaxed, but you don't want to be so relaxed that I don't know. I feel like it's an interesting thing that I always think about, is when, you know, you're meeting people or whatever, they always remember you by, and if, you know, unfortunately, if you really go to a person's funeral, a good person's funeral, right? They all kind of say the same thing. Like, man, she was so kind, she was sweet, she was helpful. When my family was in need, she helped us or whatever, right? So you hear like the similarities and you're like, man, that person was a genuinely good person. So when I think about this stuff, I kind of think of like what type of impact am I leaving on that person? Is it a positive one? Is it a negative one? Am I really showing them who I am as a person, or am I kind of maybe giving them not a mask, but like a wrong impression of who I am? You know what I'm trying to get at?
Yeah, I get it. I don't know. I feel like if I would think that way or if I would think like that, I would overdo it. You know, I would go out of my way to try and be someone that, you know what, there, maybe I'm just not that person. Maybe I'm not, you know, as kind, or maybe, you know, I don't know. I feel like I'm still at a young enough age where I'm probably still developing and I just don't even know it. So I don't know. I feel like at this point to like try and project something that I'm not is kind of, you know, because you could probably fool somebody into like, okay, let's say, I don't know, like I wanted to be, I don't know, like I wanted to be like super good to like, oh, I've never done anything wrong in my life. I could potentially fool someone, but then at the end of the day, I just know that I fooled someone, you know. It's not like, you don't leave there feeling good about yourself. And I know that you probably don't, you know, do that. You probably don't.
No, obviously I'm not putting on a fake persona.
Yeah, exactly.
Obviously, like, whoever meets me, I'm being genuinely me. Like, I'm that person. But, and we've had this conversation too before, but just kind of saying like, I don't know. I just, the way, I guess maybe a better way instead of way people look at you, but like the qualities people think you have, you know?
Yeah.
Like I mentioned, a lot of people used to think I just fooled around or whatever. And like, that's true. That's who I am. I don't like to take stuff so seriously. You mentioned like you were nervous for your job interview, right?
Yeah.
Well, when I interviewed for my job, I was not nervous whatsoever. For my first day of work, I was not nervous whatsoever because I've kind of like, dude, relax. There's nothing bad that could possibly happen.
Yeah.
Or if something bad does happen, put it in perspective. Like, you, right, let's say you had a bad interview.
Yeah.
Or you had a bad interview, move on. Or you had a bad first day, okay, well, you still have the job, you move on to number two. So like those type of things are like important for people, I think, to put in perspective. But like you're saying, you know, you don't want to fake it and put on a fake persona.
Yeah.
But I also don't want to be known by one definitive quality, which I guess, I don't know, kind of gets too nitty gritty. And I, you know, I obviously don't want to sidetrack this whole podcast on purpose or whatever. But I just think it's an interesting thing that maybe not that many people think about, you know?
Yeah. No, I get it. I 100% get what you're saying. Yeah, I think you make a good point. You don't want to be known for, you know, one thing. I think that's, we see that a lot in like celebrities. They're like, oh, I'm not just this. I'm also, you know, this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but, you know, I get it. I feel what you're saying.
It just, I think it's an interesting thing. And the more, and again, you know, we're both young, so we're still, you know, finding out who we are and stuff like that. But I find it kind of strange that when you think about maybe legacy, and I guess that's the only word that comes to mind for me, or maybe impact that you have on a person, I kind of want it to be, for me anyway, like a good impact. Not that I'm putting on a fake persona, but like I impacted that person in a good way.
Yeah.
Like you were mentioning, you helped the lady by not even doing anything, but just putting away the chair, right?
Yeah.
She didn't ask you or whatever. And like that could be your only impact that you have on her, but it's a good one, you know?
Right.
So like little things. And ultimately, I think that's also a way people can really change the world is by just having good, positive interactions with others and doing the little things.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I mean, I definitely, you know, felt good about it. And I think, you know, yeah, you're right. Even if I don't get this job, it's like, at least I did something that was incredibly tiny in the grand scheme of things, but it's, you know, mm-hmm. it's making it a better place. Just
Exactly.
Yeah. That's good. That's good. So, now that you're a working man, tell me about that. How do you feel about it?
All right. Well, obviously I'm not going to say what company I work for or anything, but, so I'm working a manual labor job.
Yes.
Which is good. They pay me pretty good. The people are very nice. The supervisors and managers are very helpful and everything. But I will say this. I have a dream to become an attorney. That's my goal. And this job just further like cements that dream for me because as like this job is completely fine, right? I work within the food industry, so just to kind of give you guys a little perspective, but it's completely fine. You know, it's not a very like difficult job, right? I just have to get my feet a little wet to fully understand everything within like the job atmosphere and what I need to know, what I need to do, and certain etiquettes and whatever. But it's not, you know, I'm not a coal miner 12 feet underground digging up coal for 12 hours a day. Like, that's not what I'm doing. So I'm fortunate that I got this job. I'm fortunate that they pay me above the state minimum wage. So that's also very nice. I'm thankful that as a student, they're also like flexible. So, you know, very like, you know, good things I have to say about this company I'm working for. But it also kind of for me motivates me to like achieve my dream. You know, like I want to have a certain career, and that kind of motivates me. So I don't know. I find like the job is good in helping me, you know, learn how to make sure I save my money, manage my money. Also puts into perspective, guys, if you're not in college, how really broke you are, you know, even if you have a job. Man, when you're at home, you know, you have a whole bunch of stuff. But sometimes in college, you kind of realize, oh, I can't see this movie because I need a haircut. Or, oh, I can't get this at the grocery store because I need this, you know? So it's kind of cool that you learn these life lessons. And hopefully, you know, everybody learns these life lessons. But I don't know, for me, it's also a source of motivation to work harder and keep achieving my dreams.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I get that. That's really good. I'm glad you enjoy it to some extent. You know, people get jobs and they just absolutely hate them, but you know, yeah, that's good.
Yeah, and I also too, you know, I don't know who said this to me. It might have been one of my parents. I might have seen it in a movie. But when I was growing up, I always had this phrase kind of in my head. It's like the work has to be done, right? Like it has to get done. So I don't know. Maybe for me, that helps me with my mindset with my job. You know, sometimes it's not the funnest thing to do, but it's also just, you know, just get the work done and you keep on moving forward. So I don't know. It's not bad. You know, it actually reminds me a lot, Josh, of remember when we were ambassadors in high school and we put on events and stuff like that for the high school? It kind of reminds me of that. Obviously, I do more things, but it kind of feels like volunteer work a little bit to me. But I get paid, so.
Sure, that's infinitely better than volunteer work.
Oh, for sure. Hey, we're not saying don't volunteer. We're just
No.
saying it's always good to get paid for your labor.
Yeah, you know, I agree with what you're saying. I guess I can't relate yet, but you know, I feel that you know, money crunch stuff like that is like, this is the real world, you know? So you gotta do what you gotta do.
Yeah. I've
So
already told you I'm trying to save up for things, man. You
yeah.
know, that's not good, but it's okay. I'm moving forward. But let me ask you this. So since this episode, we're kind of going deeper, right? We're going deep in who we are as people. Let me ask you this. So obviously, this kind of goes into politics, but we see that apparently, according to economists and whatever, by 2021, 2022, we're going to hit a recession, right? And obviously, right now we're doing pretty well. There's a housing boom. Unemployment is at its lowest it's ever been. Do you think, you know, as obviously with the capitalist system, there's highs and lows. Do you think there are things people can do better? Like, I feel like as Americans, especially, we're in this consumer-driven, you know, economy. Even myself, right? I'm already saving up to buy like a drone, maybe. I don't know. But, you know, we're just consumer driven. Do you think that maybe a shift in how our culture is with consumerism can maybe help for when we have like recessions or stuff, you know, kind of change who we are as a maybe as a country?
Yeah, probably, but I don't know if it will ever happen. I mean, I think we could use a change. The problem is it's hard to criticize when you're so deep in it, you know? I'm looking not to get the newest iPhone, but last year's model. But you know, I would, I guess, consider myself a minimalist. But then I take a step back and I'm like, wait a minute, I want to get the newest, you know, one of the newest iPhones, and it's like, how is this? You know, what am I doing? Mine is cracked a little bit. It's a little chipped, but it works completely fine. You know. So it's boy. Like, what can you do? You know, I don't know. It's gonna be. Go for it.
No, I was about to say, I see 100% what you're saying, because then it kind of like consumes you.
Yeah.
Like, well, I kind of have an old phone. I kind of need a new one. So then you start looking.
Yeah.
And then you go back to the old phone. You're like, well, just a little crack.
Yeah.
Maybe I could keep it for a couple more years, you know?
Yeah, I don't know, man. I think it's just so it's so prevalent, you know? It's everywhere, you know? I have an iPhone 8. I don't know if you guys know. If you guys are... so it has still the... What's it called? Touch ID?
Oh, poor baby. Touch ID.
And I was hanging out with friends, and they're like, bro, you still have Touch ID? I'm like, what?
Yeah.
It went away, what, like 2017? Was iPhone 10?
Yeah. Hey, Josh, we're about to head to 2020, man. That's...
I'm like, what the hell, man? Like, get off my back. And don't even get me started with, like, Android hate. Like, Jesus, man, that's...
Yeah. No, I understand. You know, and that brings me to a thing, too. Like you said, obviously, it's kind of hard when you're so ingrained. But one thing that I think I focus on, and I would recommend anybody to be focused on, is don't be motivated by money. You know, if you have a job... Or even if you don't have a job, if you're just saving money, like, don't be motivated by money. Even if you have a job, you know, do your job to the best of your abilities. Always get there early. Always work harder than everybody else. If it requires you to stay later than everybody else, do it. You know, all the stuff you guys already know. But I always say to people who ask me about, you know, certain things, like, don't be motivated by money, because then that just further, I think, consumes you. And like Josh said, you know, you're like, dude, this technology on my phone is just 2 years old. Like, relax, you know. But then you hear stuff from your friends or your family, or you're on the internet, and you're like, man, they have that new Face ID. Maybe I need that. Or, oh, that phone has a better camera. I love taking pictures. Or, you know. So I always say to people, don't be motivated by money, because before you know it, then you're consumed by money.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm working on it. You know, going back to your original point, can we use a change? I'm sure we can, but it's just going to be so damn hard to figure it out. I guess let's see which companies survive, you know, because if a recession hits, I think it'll hit even harder. You know, we didn't have Amazon and all this kind of, you know, how many companies are solely based on people buying their things, you know.
That is very true.
So it's like, well, damn. Well, we'll see what happens if something happens, a recession.
Yeah. You know, that is a very good point. Now that the economy, you know, from 2008 to now, has changed a lot in how we buy products, how we consume stuff, you know.
Yeah.
Obviously, we mentioned on the podcast before, you know, the new streaming wars that are coming out. You know, you have Netflix, Disney, Hulu, Amazon, HBO, CBS, you know, who knows what else. So, you know, those stuff can be impacted. And it's kind of weird to think about it, because you're like, well, it's just $5 a month. Yeah. You know, in a couple of years, you know, you might be like, yeah, but I need that $5 a month.
Yeah.
Or I need that 12. So, like you said, I didn't even think about that. That's a great point. You know, who knows how much harder or more difficult it will be when a recession to the economy hits. But, you know, like you said, it's kind of hard to change our consumer culture, because that's, I don't know. I feel like as Americans, that's kind of what we're taught, you know. You buy a house, you buy a car, you know, you raise a family, and that's the dream.
Yeah.
And those are great things, you know, have a family, have a nice area to live in, raise your kids. Those are, you know, fabulous things to aim for. But I think that sometimes we get that mixed up with, like, success, you know? like, oh, if you don't have a house, or you don't have two cars, or you don't have this, then you're not successful. And I think that kind of rubs people the wrong way to then be motivated just purely by getting those things.
Yeah. What I've been watching, I've been kind of fascinated by this on YouTube. It's called the Van Life. Have you heard of it?
No, I have not.
So it's these people who basically they'll get like a, you know, like a van, kind of like, one of the most popular is called an NV200. I don't know. You could kind of Google that, but, it's just like a van. It's like a panel van basically. And so they'll trick it out. They'll put, you know, beds and water and all this kind of cool stuff in it. And then live out of it. You know, one of the guys that I follow, he just, you know, goes around the country, camps and stuff. And he's talked about it. Like his family is kind of, you know, like, what the hell, man? You don't have a place to live. You're living out of your van. And he's like, yeah, but, you know, this is really fulfilling to me. And so I kind of sat on it and I thought about it. And I was like, you know what? Yeah, that does sound really, really nice. Like, yeah, you don't have some of the nicest stuff just because, you know, you can't. But at the same time, it's like, wow, you get to see the entire, you know, he's gone to Canada and Mexico and, you know, even all the way down to, like, South America. And he's, like, seeing all these great things. And it's like, well, damn, I don't know, man. Like, is my dream the, you know, a good dream, you know? Like you were saying with, like, the kids and the house and, you know, your two cars. It's like, I know it's like a valid one and people have it, but it's like, is it the best one? You know, am I shooting for what's really going to make me happy, or am I going to get to where I think that I want to be? And it's like, oh shit, I should have been doing the other thing.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. No, and I think, Josh, I think that goes down to kind of what I said before, motivation by money, but not even with that. I think it goes to maybe a little bit to like what you really want to be in terms of as a person, but also like as your career. You know, and we see a lot of people, they have these jobs and they're miserable, but they got to make the money so that they feed the family and that they afford the rent and all that type of stuff, which is, you know, good. Those are your responsibilities. But I feel that also, like, often we have these misconceptions that, like you're saying, we get to this goal and we realize, yeah, maybe we're not happy. And that guy you're talking about, maybe in that van, he's really happy. You know, he likes traveling or he likes seeing the world, and that's his way of doing that stuff. And that's completely fine, you know. But I also think a point of realism has to be taken into account of, you know, whatever you're trying to do. Because a lot of people, you know, successful people often take like risks and they, you know, sometimes work out and make, you know, great rewards and stuff, but sometimes they don't work out. And it's, you know, it's often hard, especially with, I think, our culture in America of like success and failure, because if you're a failure, man, a lot of people look down on you, and sometimes it's hard. But I think at the end of the day, you really have to try to find out what makes you happy, but also to realize like, it's not the end of the world if you have a successful life, but you're not necessarily like the happiest that you can be. You know, maybe you're like, yeah, I don't love my job, but you know, my family is well fed. We have a roof over our head. We have clothes on our backs. It's not that bad.
I think what you're saying is like, you have to find happiness in where you're at.
Yeah.
Yeah. I get it.
It's hard, you know, and especially I think it's hard because I've joked around before with my buddies and said life experience is overrated. You know, I can make a decision now that I can make when I'm 70. No, obviously, you know, obviously that's fake. I was just joking. But life experience, I think, helps you realize, hey, not everything is going to be, you know, on an uphill, right? We're not just heading towards that goal all the time. You're going to fall down. You got to pick yourself back up, and you got to keep marching, and you got to keep going. And I think, that sometimes you have to realize that not everything revolves around happiness, right? Sometimes there's going to be failures, and you learn from those failures, or you accept those failures, and you pick yourself up and you keep on going, because, you know, not everything is happiness, right? Not everything is. If you ask any parent, right, from the moment they hold their kid, they're like, oh my goodness, I can't explain it because I don't have a kid, but a lot of people are moved in a way that's so innate to them that they can't even explain it. They're like, this child is mine, you know, like it's part of me and my spouse, and it's just something like that. And then you see them like maybe 2 months down the line, and they're like, oh my goodness, that baby can't sleep, right? And I think that's part of life. We're not always going to be happy, but you just keep on moving forward, you know?
Yeah, I get it. Yeah, I feel that. Yeah.
Well, I mean, those are just a couple of things to discuss. You know, obviously, I would recommend to anybody, and I've said this to close friends of mine, I think the best thing you could do to try to find happiness or find yourself is you got to think, you got to meditate, and you really got to find who or what makes you happy or who you want to be as a person. Because I think that goes a long way towards, you know, improving yourself. You always want to become a better person and be the best version of yourself.
Uh-huh. Yep. Totally agree.
Well, I think this is a good place to wrap it up.
I'm going to interrupt. We're going to add one sports thing.
Oh, good, Josh. No.
Yeah. We are.
All right, go ahead.
Infectious mononucleosis, also known as glandular fever, is an infection usually caused by the Epstein-Barr virus. How it spreads? By saliva, kissing, or shared drinks. Now, some of you are probably confused. David, I think you understand what I'm trying to say here.
Oh, no, I know.
So I'm a fan of the New York football Giants. I mean, correction, Jets. Jets. I'm sorry, I saw a picture of the Giants here. I don't know why Google has this. So our quarterback, Sam Darnold, USC alum, he has mono, man. He has mono. Like, what? He didn't break his hand. He didn't, you know, he doesn't have, I don't know, what do people get sidelined for? Raping someone? Shout out Patriots. But he has mono. What? It's so... Any thoughts, David?
You know, here's a couple of things. One, I just want to say this.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm wrong, but I read an article a long time ago, probably last year, that Sam Darnold was like still in a relationship with his high school like sweetheart, whatever, right?
Uh-huh.
So let me just say this. I just hope if you got it from her, or if you're no longer with her and you got it from somebody else,
uh-huh,
just be careful, man. Please. This is like you could literally die from mono.
Yeah,
like, it's not even a joke.
Yeah.
If you listen to the Pat McAfee podcast, he called it AIDS light. And it really is, you know, it's a serious thing. So kind of embarrassing. But obviously, we want to make sure Sam is all healthy and everything.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I just like, I'm just so, so disappointed, so sad, so hurt. I'm like, I thought we were going to have a good season. We're going to, you know, we got Le'Veon. He goes out there, you know, goes and poops it game one. It's like, oh, Jesus Christ. It's going to be a long season, buddy.
Oh, for sure.
It's going to be a long season.
Let me say this too, Sam. Sam, don't share any cups, dude. Please.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Stop. Cover your mouth when you're reading the plays in the huddle. For sure.
Oh, my. Dude, wouldn't it be so disgusting if he got it from one of his O-line guys?
Oh, God. I don't even want to. Or it's like he's sharing a mouth guard, a mouthpiece with the guy on defense. He's like, hey, bro, I need that back. I'm going out there.
Dude, that's why I'm super grossed out whenever you see people in the UFC get like punched super hard and their mouth guard falls out.
Yeah.
And I'm like, dude, there's like blood on the ground. Don't put that back in your mouth.
Oh, dude, I don't know, man. When it gets like really bloody, there's this picture that's been going around of like this ref who's got just like covered like up to his elbows in blood. It's like he's wearing a white shirt and it's like covered up. I'm like, dude, that can't be. He's wearing what's it called, like doctor's gloves too, you know, like a what, a latex probably. There's no way that's helping. There's no way that's helping, dude. No wonder they have to do all those tests for like AIDS and all that stuff. It's like, oh, Jesus, man.
Jeez. Yeah.
It's crazy.
Please be safe, guys. Just be sanitary, you know?
Yeah. Well, I think that's all I got for this week.
Yeah. We thank you guys for joining us. Episode 6 of the pod, JD Tots Podcast. We're bi-weekly, so we'll see you guys soon. But we're back. We have a schedule now.
Yep.
We're, like we said, Josh and I are in different parts of the country, but now we got it down. Anything else, Josh?
That's about it. Don't forget to follow us on the Twitter. Stuff goes down there. We put announcements and good stuff.
You know what? And I've been thinking about this. We might even be putting more personality stuff on the Twitter. But we'll discuss that behind the scenes. But yeah. Like, subscribe. If you're listening on Anchor, thank you so much for supporting the pod. We appreciate it. And I think that's it, right, Josh?
That's it.